Well, desire and interest in your prayers and your attention this morning. I ask the Lord would meet with us today. Thankful for all of the blessings of the Lord in each one of our lives. Thankful for health and strength that we enjoy and the progress that we have all made in our lives. And think about our little message this morning with the help of the Lord. And I want the Lord's direction and words and how to express our thoughts, because He's the one that we need the approval. And without His help, we'll certainly be a failure. I'd like to turn to Revelations, the third chapter this morning. And notice a little brief passage of Scripture here. It's the words of Jesus that John heard and in his beginning of his vision. I believe Jesus was speaking to him directly, but it was not speaking to him like you and I speak to one another, because Jesus had already ascended up into heaven. John was on the Isle of Patmos. He was in exile. We can look here in the third chapter of Revelations, and beginning in the 20th verse, he says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So I believe that anything Jesus spoke to John here that was applicable to the churches of Asia Minor, I believe that we need to pay attention, because it could be said to us today too. And so he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." I imagine that all of us have heard someone knock at the door. Maybe you have a doorbell at your house, and maybe you don't. But even if there's a doorbell that's there, sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. I know that if I go to a house, if I push the button at the side of the door and I hear some kind of chime go off inside, that I feel like that it's working. But it always makes me a little apprehensive if you go up there and maybe the button's got a crack in it and it's not lit up, and you push the button and you don't hear anything. And it might be working, but it might be in the back side of the house where you can't hear it at the front door. But you push the button and you don't know. So the fail-safe thing to do is to knock. And if you knock and it's real important and no one comes within maybe a couple minutes, you usually will knock again. And maybe, you know, I like to open the storm door if it's got one, and knock on the real wood door there, you know, where it kind of resonates through the house a little bit. And maybe if it's really urgent, you'll really knock loud, maybe for an extended time. So Jesus said here, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, if he hears me knocking, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." So the subject I would like for us to consider this morning is a subject of opportunity. And sometimes opportunity comes and it's a... Y'all hear that? Some of you did and some of you didn't. I know if I was sitting back there, I probably wouldn't hear that. But there are other times that opportunity comes along and it seems to be shouting at us. It's very, very loud. And Jesus comes to all of our hearts and He is knocking and He would like for us to open the door, invite Him to come into our hearts and into our lives. And sometimes people are in a desperate situation in their life. Maybe tragedy has come. It might be a physical tragedy. It might be an emotional dramatic situation. I don't know, but there are times in life that we feel distressed. I'm really distressed. And at that time, many times, we are more apt to listen to the knocking that Jesus has. And it's good to respond to Jesus in those times of distress and those times of dramatic impact in our life. It's good. But you know, sometimes it's important for us to respond to the opportunities of the Lord when it's just a real faint knock. And we just, you know, we've got to be listening for it to knock. You know, if we're anticipating somebody coming to our house, a lot of times we listen for signs at our house. If the dogs start barking, and I hear, sometimes they bark just because somebody drives by, but if they start barking and I hear the crunch of the gravel in the driveway, I know somebody has turned off of the main road and they're coming up my driveway. And the next thing I anticipate is either some of the family comes walking in without knocking, or I expect to hear a knock on the door. And I may not wait for them to knock. I may go to the door because there's an opportunity to speak to someone that has come to my house. But there are other times that we may be oblivious that someone is out there and all of a sudden the doorbell rings or you hear a knock on the door. So I'm trying to get us to paint a picture in our mind this morning of opportunity coming in different forms, in different shapes, that maybe different levels of volume or intensity, but we all have opportunities in life. I'd like to turn now to Numbers, the 14th chapter, and we want to talk about an opportunity that came to the Israelite nation. And in the 13th chapter of the book of Numbers, we have the situation where the 12 spies went to spy out the land. And we know the story where 10 of the spies came back and said, the land is full of giants, and it makes us look like grasshoppers. And there were two of the spies that said, we're well able to take the land. But the other 10 that swayed the minds of the people said, folks, we don't dare go over there. It'll be the worst decision we ever made. So I'd like to read some in the 14th chapter about this situation. And this is still the generation that said, we're not going. So the 14th chapter of Numbers in the 6th verse, it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes." They rent their clothes because they were very much distressed that the people refused to go, refused to take advantage of an opportunity to possess the Canaan land, the promised land. "And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. So Caleb and Joshua seen an opportunity. They were looking with their literal eyes and seeing the blessing and the benefit that this land could be to them. And they were looking beyond the things that were between them and total possession of the land. And they were telling the people, this is a land flowing with milk and honey. There is opportunity here. Did you know that there are people that because, and all of us find ourselves in these places, because of the apparent obstacles in the path, we can't see the real benefit of the opportunity that's before us. And these people, these Israelites, were looking at this land that they had come out of Egypt. This was a generation that had came out of slavery, that had came through the Red Sea, that had been fed with manna in the wilderness, that had seen water come out of the rock, I believe, by this time already. And they come up to the edge of the Canaan land. This is why they came here, is to possess this land. And they came up here, and now they were drawing back from an opportunity. And I'd like for us to think this morning about our own lives, just a little bit. I don't want anybody to get down in the mouth, but I'd like for you to think about maybe an opportunity that you have had, and because of the apparent obstacles, you've pulled back. I want to tell you an opportunity I had as a young man. I was young, and I just chanced on this. You know, some opportunities are like tailor-made for us individually. And other times there's opportunities that we just kind of stumble on. Well, this was one I kind of stumbled on. And I was probably about 16 years old. And I happened to meet a person. And they said, hey, come in here. There's something you might be interested in, this old barn. It wasn't really, it was a big, kind of empty building. So I went in there with this man, and he had a 1955, I believe, Ford Crown Victoria. And it was something they called, I'm not sure if they called it a Sunliner or a Skyliner. But it had big wide chrome pieces all over it, and the front half of the roof was glass. You could look up and look through the roof and see. I mean, it was an expensive car. Now, when I was 16, this car would have been about 26. So, it was old, but it wasn't as old as it is today, see. So, and this car, I mean, it wasn't maybe perfect, but it was real close. Opened the door, and it had this shrink wrap looking clear plastic. Some of y'all remember that they'd put over the upholstery to protect it back in the 50s. It had that over it, and it had 12,000 miles on it. It had the little Continental kit on the back with the spare tire back there by the bumper, and it had the fender skirts on it. Now, it didn't really appeal to me too much as a 16-year-old. But I knew there was value there. And the man said, I'll take $5,000 for it. That was a lot of money for me. I didn't have $5,000. But you know, if I'd have bought that car and kept it, you know what it'd be worth today? At least 10 times that much. Maybe 15 times that much. It would have been a good investment. It was an opportunity that I didn't take advantage of. Maybe I wasn't in a position to take advantage of it. But this is an opportunity the Israelites were in a position to take advantage. The Lord had brought them, but all they seen was giants. Just like I seen $5,000 was more money than I had. It was a giant, you see. And I pulled back. And these people pulled back because there was physical giants out there. And it's always intimidating when somebody is big enough that they make us look like grasshoppers. That's what they said. They said they make us look. So I pull back from an opportunity to possess that land. Now I'd like for us to scroll forward a few years, and I'd like to go to Deuteronomy, the first chapter. And I want to pick up this account here that's pretty much the same situation. And by the time we get to the book of Deuteronomy, the generation that had said that land is full of giants and we're not going to take advantage of this opportunity had all pretty much died and passed away. So in the 8th verse here, maybe we'll start in the 6th verse. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn ye and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and unto all the places nigh thereunto in the plain and in the hills and in the vale in the south and by the seaside to the land of the Canaanites and to the Lebanon and to the river Euphrates. Behold, I've set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, the generation that's past, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. And Moses is speaking to that younger generation here. And what did they do? They went in. Remember, they crossed the River Jordan. They didn't cross at the same place. But they went in. They believed that Joshua, at the end of this book, they followed Joshua into the land of Canaan. And when they went in and took advantage of the opportunity, I would say all of us would say here that they fumbled their opportunity. Because they could have completely, entirely possessed the land and made it theirs without any reservations. And they went in, you remember, and the second place they came to was Ai, and they met defeat. And then they made a deal with the people that came with the moldy bread. And at very best, they fumbled their opportunity. And if we look through mankind's history, we find a lot of fumbled opportunities. We find a lot of people that have pull back from opportunity. We find people that have failed right in the midst of an opportunity that was given them. I'd like to turn to 1 Kings now and notice another opportunity that is presented here in the Scripture. I want to go to 1 Kings, the first chapter, and notice the story here is about Solomon becoming king, and we'll read beginning in verse 32. He says, and King David said, call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king. The king also said unto them, take with you the servants of your Lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel, and blow ye with the trumpet, and say, God save King Solomon. Then ye shall come up after him, and he may come and sit upon my throne, for he shall be king in my stead, and I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. And Benaiah the son of Jehoiada answered the king and said, amen. The Lord God of my Lord, the king, say so too. As the Lord has seen with my Lord the King, been with my Lord the King, even so be he with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. So Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down and caused Solomon to ride upon David's mule and brought him to Gihon. And Zadok the priest took an horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon, and they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. So here we have an account of David orchestrating or initiating the crowning of his own son to reign in his stead to be the king. So I would think that all of us would consider it an opportunity of a lifetime to be king. Wouldn't you think so? And Solomon here had the well wishes of his father and the priest, and they said, may God even make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. So there's an opportunity. And the opportunity that was presented to him, we pick up the story again in the third chapter, in the fifth verse. We find here, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and said, ask what ye shall give thee. You know, when the Lord appears to us, and whether it's a dream or whether he appears to us by speaking to us through his word or through the services or however it is, there's an opportunity there. All right? So the Lord appeared to Solomon, and he said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast shewed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him his greatness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as at this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. I am but a little child. I know not how to go out and to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of this thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? And this speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon, that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy works. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither shall there arise any like unto thee. This is an opportunity. Not just an opportunity to be a king, but here's an opportunity that Solomon was given to be blessed of the Lord, to have an understanding. There's never been, God said, there's never been anybody that'll have understanding like you, nor there won't ever be anybody after you that has the magnitude and the depth of understanding that you have. That's an opportunity, folks. And he said, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, and keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. You know, if you read the end, we find that Solomon was king for the same amount of time that David was, 40 years. So we know the end of the story, don't we? We know that Solomon did not take advantage of all of the opportunity that was given to him. All right? He was presented with a great opportunity. He did approach it in the right manner. one of the most honorable prayers and thing that a man in his position could have ever done is ask God for wisdom to be the proper king. Today, anytime you find yourself in a place, in an opportunity to be a spiritual leader and impact in other life, whether it's your own children, whether it's in your extended family or in a worship service, one of the most paramount things is that we ask the Lord for wisdom to know how to do that. And Solomon did. And the Lord heard that, and he was very pleased, and he said, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to, the Lord, I'm going to give you understanding that no one else has ever had. So here's an opportunity. So my burden this morning is, what opportunities have you been given? I think all of us here would have to acknowledge, I think every one of us here have been exposed to, by and large, a lot of truth. We've been exposed to truth. We've been exposed to good, sound teaching in our life. We've been exposed to things that could be a tremendous asset to us spiritually, in our families, in our relationships. So the real question here is, what are we doing with our opportunities? What are we doing with the opportunity that's been given to me? Am I making good use of the opportunity? Am I being like the Israelites when they first came to the entrance of the Canaan land and they said, there's giants over there? Did you know with every opportunity, there's always something that's standing in the way? Every opportunity. You want to have some type of achievement in your life, I promise you that no matter how good the opportunity is, there's going to be something that you're going to have to overcome. It might be as simple as you got to get up early in the morning, or you got to stay up late at night. It might be even more difficult that you got to learn some kind of special procedure. You might have to learn another language. You might have to learn how to overcome a fear of height, a fear of small, close places. You know, if somebody feels like they're claustrophobic and yet there's an opportunity for some achievement in life, but you've got to go through a little tight place to get there, that's an obstacle. That's just like the giants that the Israelites seen. So my real question is, what do we do with our opportunities in life? Opportunities in our natural, everyday affairs, what do we do with them? Do we always pull back? Do we let the giants on the horizon keep us from achieving or attaining what the opportunity is? But notice what happened to Solomon. I just made a note to myself that this opportunity that Solomon had is probably one of the most incredible opportunities that any man has ever been given. He was given wisdom that, as far as I know, this still holds true. No one has ever had the level of understanding that Solomon had. And if that's true, then that's completely outstanding. But he was promised riches, peace, and he was promised a long life. But he didn't get the long life that he could have. And why didn't he? Because he failed to stay true to his commitment to the opportunity. If we go to 1 Kings 11th chapter, we find what brought him to failure, to the point of failure. And in 11 and 4, of 1 Kings, it says, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." And in the 9th verse, it says, "And the Lord was angry with Solomon." This is the same Lord, and it's the same man, where it said the Lord was very pleased with what Solomon said. And here it says that the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Did you know when the Lord appears to you, as I said earlier, there's an opportunity? Have you ever been in the presence of the Lord? It might be in a service somewhere where you felt the anointing really touching your heart. That's the Lord's visitation. And there's an opportunity that comes with that. It may be an opportunity the Lord may have spoke to you and said, "You know, there's a little matter that you need to take care of in your life. You know, there's a little thing here that you need to make some adjustments in. Maybe you need to go and tell someone you're sorry. Or maybe there's something that you need to change. You need to quit doing something. Or you need to pick up some kind of different characteristic." And that's the Lord's visitation. And it's an opportunity for us to listen. And sometimes, right in the midst of that opportunity, we'll say, "Yes, Lord, help me to be faithful to that." But you know, the enemy likes to come along and offer distractions. And he likes to try to side rail the opportunities the Lord gives, just like he done his best and succeeded in derailing Solomon in his lifetime. And Solomon ended up being someone that we look on, or I look on, in the Scripture, and I think, oh, the possibilities that Solomon could have established the kingdom of Israel in a much better fashion. Only if he had truly been faithful and diligent in the opportunity that the Lord gave him. You know, I'm thankful for the opportunities that I've been given in life. And in the Lord's kingdom, I'm thankful for those opportunities. But dear ones, I'm in a position today that I'm desperate to keep up my end of the bargain. I want to be faithful to the Lord. I don't want to allow the opportunities the Lord has given me to become something that I fail to be faithful to the Lord in. I want to be faithful to Him, and I want you to be faithful. So I want to challenge us today to consider the knocking. You know, we read there in Revelations where Jesus said, "I stand at the door and knock." And the Lord, I believe today, not because I'm speaking, but I believe today the Lord would like to be knocking on your door, on your heart's door. He wants you to open the door to Him. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants you to be successful in life. But we have to recognize the opportunity, and we have to recognize that He's well able to help us with whatever giants. You know, it may look... we've been reading a little book to the boys. And this boy that had been so rough and sinful and disrespectful, and he was just bad. And he had gotten saved and really changed his life. And as he was going through his schoolwork, he made a mistake in front of the class. This is back when you went up and done your work on the chalkboard for your examination. And he made a mistake, and the boys were teasing him and poking fun at him. And he got really, really mad, and he cursed. And he was such a failure. But he got off, and he was having so much hatred against the boys that he thought had caused him to fail and all of that. And he got off down alone with the Lord. And he asked the Lord to forgive him. And then the minister talked to him and told him, said, you know, do the boys know that you and the Lord's got this settled? And he said, no, the boys don't know. And he said, maybe you ought to tell them. And he said, oh, I don't know if I can do that or not. And the minister basically told him, says, you know, you probably ought to, they're going to have more examination tomorrow at school. You probably ought to go back and tell the boys. You know, that was the hardest thing for him to do, to get up in front of the boys and acknowledge that he had failed the Lord, but the Lord had forgiven him. You know, one of the hardest things, it'll be the biggest giant you ever face, is to stand up and say, I was wrong. I failed. But I've worked it out with the Lord, and I want you all to forgive me. I want to be what God would have me to be. You know, that's one of the biggest giants we'll ever face in our life. And it's not easy. It's not a very palatable thing to think about. But you know, after he made it right in front of his school friends, you know that even though he felt emotionally drained, he knew that was the right thing to do. He'd conquered that giant. It couldn't stand in his way any longer. And you know, I've read the whole book and I know where it ends, but the boys haven't heard that. But you know, he was successful for the Lord. And we'll be successful, and we can be successful if we will ask the God of heaven to help us know how to take out the giants. But there's going to be some folks. They may be medium-sized giants, and we may have the biggest giant of anybody has ever faced. We may have the biggest giant. But you know the Lord will help you. Just as he comes and visits and gives you an opportunity, he will give you victory over the giants that appear. So I'd like to go on a little more. I have a couple examples in the Bible. We were not going to turn and read because I believe you're very familiar with their stories. Of someone that took advantage of an opportunity and was faithful to them. I like those kind of stories. You know, the Bible has a lot of stories in it of failures, of people that failed to take advantage of opportunities and they failed to be what God wanted them to be. But we find a couple stories that I know of. One of them was named Samuel. You remember he was a man that was a son, he was a promised child. His mother came and was desperate. She wanted a son. And the Lord blessed her with a son and she gave it. It was an opportunity for her to give him back to the Lord. And Samuel was true. I am amazed at how Samuel accepted his mother's burden. And he was a faithful man. God used him over and over. Another one that was a man of promise. And he was faithful to the opportunity that was laid out before him was John the Baptist. Right down to the end, John was faithful to the opportunities that God gave him. So, sometimes I feel like part of the responsibility of the ministry is to remind us as a people that there's opportunities in front of you. I don't know what today holds for you. I don't know what kind of opportunities are out there for you today. But I know this, there are opportunities. And I believe the Lord wants us to take advantage of those opportunities. I believe He wants us to capitalize on the opportunities that He would like to give us. And then He'd like to see us follow through and be faithful. It's hard for us sometimes to really comprehend the magnitude of opportunities that's given us. You know, I don't know how Samuel, when he went to the temple and was there helping Eli or the tabernacle, I don't know that he truly understood the opportunity that was set before him. But as time went on, who was the man that anointed the first king? Who was the man that anointed the second king? It was Samuel. I'd like to turn to Romans, the 10th chapter, and I'd like for us to notice a passage of Scripture here in Romans, the 10th chapter. And we're going to start reading in the 9th verse. He says, kind of picking up in the middle of the thought, he says, "But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." The first thing I'd like for us to notice from this passage of Scripture is he says there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. There's opportunity to give unto all of us. And sometimes I think if we are Greek by spiritual ancestry, it's easier for us to recognize our sinful natures. And it's easier for us to come to grips with who we are, and that the Lord will have mercy on us. And many times, if we are Jews by spiritual ancestry, our parents were saved and our grandparents were saved, sometimes it's hard for us to picture ourselves as a real sinful person. But he said, there's no difference. There's opportunity to get as a young child, I may have not heard the loud knocking on the door of how grievously sinful I was. I may have heard just a little tap in the Lord dealing with my spirit, and maybe some little attitude that I had. Or someone else in the same age bracket may have been caught up in some kind of real sinful activity, and the Lord was able to use that. May have been a louder knock, you see. But the opportunity is given to all of us. It doesn't matter who our background is. But I want us to get a picture of the progression of opportunity in this passage of Scripture. He says, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, this is the 13th verse, shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Did you know that one opportunity most generally leads to another opportunity? And that opportunity leads to another opportunity, which leads to another opportunity. You see how this works? And if we're unwilling to open the door for the first responsibility or opportunity, if we're unwilling to avail ourselves of that opportunity, many times the second or the third or the fourth opportunity, it escapes us. And we look on and we say, I wonder how somebody ever got to this point in their life. And it wasn't because the grand opportunity of a lifetime came along. It was because they took advantage of the opportunity that came their way. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew. Doesn't matter if you're a Greek. Doesn't matter where you are today. But if the Lord is knocking on the door and he's presenting an opportunity to get things in order in our lives, if he's presenting a opportunity for you to get a step ahead of the enemy that wants to bring destruction to our souls, if you see that opportunity today, I want to encourage you to open the door. and let Jesus in. And let Him help you with whatever giant there might be that stand. It may be some kind of public acknowledgement. It may be something that you don't feel like you can do. You know, there's things that we can't do in ourselves. We just physically cannot do. I did not have the money to take advantage of the opportunity. And my guess is my parents would have said no, even if they had the money. This was a long time ago. But, you know, I didn't pursue it either. You know, if we today will pursue the opportunity, what is the Lord, what kind of knocking are you hearing today? What kind of opportunity is there? An opportunity for maybe kind of a small victory. Maybe you might think someone else would look on this as just a, oh, that's remedial. That's childish. That's a little bitty thing. Well, everybody ought to have victory in that area. No, if the Lord is knocking on your door and says, here's an opportunity for you to gain a victory in your life, to learn how to trust Him, to learn how to lean on Him in whatever aspect of you, whatever it is, it may be a little bitty thing, and you may think somebody else is going to... That's just the giants. That's just something that's trying to defeat you. We have to disregard that and ask God to help us step forward with whatever that opportunity is. Somehow, I hope you can get the message this morning that all of us have giants, all of us have opportunities, and there's going to... It may be a loud knock. It may be desperate. You know, if somebody is about at the end of their life and everybody around them knows the end is looming right here around the corner, we're desperate, aren't we? We're saying, don't you want to make sure you're right with God? And we're helping the Lord knock on the door and make a lot of noise. And we're saying, people, won't you listen? The Lord wants to have mercy on you. The Lord wants to save you. But today, maybe it's just a real light knock. Maybe the Lord is saying, won't you open just a little bit? Won't you listen? Just won't you take advantage of the little opportunity? Won't you do that? And all the Lord is asking is that you would open the door and let Him come in and let Him help you with whatever is holding you back. And that opportunity will lead to something else until the Lord gives you a victory where you can defy all of the armies of the enemy and you can be victorious. You know, Solomon didn't have to fail. The Israelites didn't have to fumble their opportunity, and we don't have to either. With the help of the Lord, we can be victorious. We can conquer the Canaan land, and we can live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. You pray for me.